This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
This is show number 110 with live coverage of the May Day rally and demonstration in downtown Denver, which is starting right now. We decided to do a two-hour show in order to cover this rally because there are rebellions all around the country demanding our freedom. Now, it's a hard thing to demand your freedom from the people, the bureaucrats, the elected politicians who took it from you. That's why May Day rally. And by the way, there is maydayusa.org, and you can go there. It's a website that cropped up that was hatched somewhere in Denver, Colorado. There is a May Day rally. This is May 1st, 2020, and there's a May Day rally taking place and starting right now in downtown Denver to celebrate not only the first day of May, which has traditionally been spring. Even though spring starts March 20th, still it is the first day of spring. I mean, the day to celebrate. But also, it's been a socialist holiday. You know, the day for the workers' paradise holiday. And most free market, freedom-loving people have just said, yeah, this is a socialist holiday, May 1st. But guess what? May 1st, because of the unbelievable, unprecedented times in which we are living in which coronavirus has been used to rob people of their freedom, of their livelihoods, of the economy, both state and national, and even international for that matter. And we're not going to talk in huge detail about that today because we're going to be talking about and celebrating businesses, small businesses, medium businesses, people who have businesses and people who want to go to those businesses and spend money. Now, people asked me a while back, why is it that we're just focusing on businesses on May Day? You know why? Because if we do not get this economy open and running and started again, we're looking at some deadly, scary times in terms of the food chain that could break down and is already beginning to break down. And so how do you fix that? Well, you get people back to work. If we don't, we won't have any food on which to, on plates to serve in restaurants. And so May 1st is going to be, we hope, taking back that socialist holiday and celebrate May 1st for freedom, for free markets, for capitalism. And well, you know, there's an election. Remember, there's an election this year. I don't think some people have not forgotten it. Like Democrats, liberals haven't forgotten about it. And we can wax philosophical about whether or not this is being used partly, greatly, to impose socialism on a country in an election year. Ask yourself this question. And by the way, before I start waxing philosophic, I want to tell you something about our show for today. We're doing an extra hour, so it's 12 to 2, and we're doing it commercial free so that we can dedicate this show to everyone. And we have our first guest ready to go, but I'm going to tell you just a tiny bit about some of the guests that we're going to have on. We're going to have a roving reporter, and she'll call in when she can. Her name is Jan Cook, and she is involved with Colorado Freedom Force, and she is down at the Capitol, and she has some general times in which she can call in and give us a report, but We'll take her call when we can. Then we have some wonderful businesses and business owners. And I'll tell you more about who we have because we have our first guest right off the bat. Hal, are you on the line right now?
Yeah, Karen, I'm on.
Ah, that is great. Welcome to Spouting Off. Hal Van Herk is owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool in Sedalia, Colorado. And he made news when he refused to close down his business. He said, I'm open, I'm remaining open. And boy, that story spread like wildfire. And that's kind of what May Day is all about. We're going to open, we have a right to, and we don't need your permission. Hal, can you hold on 1 minute while we get a report from Jan Cook? She's going to talk to us for just a couple of minutes. Just a couple minutes, and then we're going to get your story right off the bat, okay? You're welcome to chime in if you want. That'd be great. This is one of those seat of our pants kind of shows. Jan Cook, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. And Karen, I want you to know right away, I'm not quite there yet, and I'll tell you why. There's
okay.
a lot more traffic on the road than we have been experiencing, which I never thought I would rejoice. At people being out and being a little delayed by traffic, but I am. It just goes to show people are ready to get moving and get back to living again.
I love it. Well, you know what, Jan? Well, why don't we do this? Thank you for letting us know that there's more traffic on the roads. Never have we been so happy to be in a traffic jam as we were 2 weeks ago at the gridlock event. We have our first guest. Now, you're welcome to stay on a little bit, but I'll tell you
no,
what.
No, what I'm going to do is as soon as I get down there, I will definitely call you back, and I'm also
okay.
going to tweet out a photograph, and I will make sure I copy
Beautiful.
The @KarenCataline handle on Twitter.
Okay. Well, super. Okay. You're going to be
I'll
our
be back.
Roving reporter, and you're going to be... reporting and maybe even giving some information to the revelers and ralliers down there who will tell us what's going on. You'll be our eyes and ears, and we're going to have other callers hopefully call in. So thank you for calling in. We'll take your call as soon as we can next time we hear from you. Thanks so much.
All right. Sounds great.
Take care. Just one other housekeeping note, and that is we have a call-in line, and we'll take your call in between our guests. Our call-in line is 888-627-6008. We have a listen-only line. It might get noisy down there, but you can listen right on your telephone at 701-719-4207. And one more, if you're listening on the internet, at home or on the way to the rally, you can go to www.KarenCataline.com. The last name is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. All you got to do is click the picture that says Spouting Off. It'll take you right to the play button where you just push the button and you can hear the show. I am delighted. Sorry to make you wait there. Hal Van Herk, you are one of the heroes of our rally because you're a business that refused to close. Why don't you tell us the story? First, tell us a little about you and how you came to be in the knife and tool business.
Sure. Well, I have a pretty much a lifetime track record of owning small business. I've all been very passionate about small business since I was young. I used to go around the neighborhood when I was in grade school selling seed packets in the spring, door to door, and everybody would ask me, "Is this for scouts or is this for a band?" And I'm like, "No, this is for profit." And so I've been kind of interested in entrepreneurship as long as I can remember. In terms of knives, it was just an interest of mine when I. Lifelong interest of mine. I retired from a major corporate job several years ago and it allowed me to go into this full time. So we've been in business 7 years and then we've been open in our retail location for 3 years, which is in Sedalia, which is halfway between Highlands Ranch and Castle Rock. And,
why don't you give the address while you're at it? because there are people chomping at the bit to go to your store, sure, to frequent stores that are open and open for business. So what's your address?
Yeah, so we're located in Sedalia, and the address is 5040 Plum Avenue, Sedalia, Colorado, 80135. And we're located right in the center of the small town in what used to be the post office, and before that was a bank. It's our building is 102 years old. So,
wow, we're going to say that again before the end of the before we have to say goodbye to you. But now, do you have a military background, Hal?
Yeah, I do have a military background. I was in the Colorado Army National Guard, and then for a brief period of time in the Air Guard for 6 years.
Well, thank you for your service, and you're running a business. This is called being an entrepreneur and independent. So tell us about this store of yours, and what do you have? You have knives. Is this a little like, now my husband is very fond of forging. He hasn't had an interest in forging since he was a teenager, actually. And do you have forging equipment, and do you have that sort of thing, or is it knives that are ready made that people can go in and buy? And both.
Right. We have we sell knife maintenance tools and sharpening tools and knife care tools, but we don't sell any forging tools at this time. There actually are a couple of shops that cater to blacksmiths that sell forging tools in the Denver metro area that I can refer people to. But we don't carry it. Our store is 1,600 square feet, and it's wall to wall knives.
Wall to wall knives. Wow.
Yeah, we carry name brand knives and custom knives from all over the world. And when I'm talking about knives, I'm talking about pocket knives, automatic knives, hunting knives, knives for fishing, camping, etc., as well as different various knives we have for tools of the trade. And we go on up to things like hatchets and axes and handsaws and other cutting tools that people need. And we also carry kitchen knives, so it's a variety.
So, who get scared coming into your store because, I don't know, the knife is going to, you know, pop out of someone's hand and hurt someone like they think a gun could? I'm just curious.
We don't get the same level of concern in our store as some people, as I've watched and witnessed some people in gun stores. I was at a town hall meeting at the DCF Guns in Castle Rock, and I got to witness the mothers demand action protest in that store, and some of the women were literally having traumatic stress problems just being in there, which was unfortunate. We don't usually have that. I mean, there's a certain number of people in the population that are afraid of knives just because it triggers them, or for whatever reason. They usually don't.
Yeah.
But we don't have that same problem.
Yeah, well, you do know that in Britain,
sad to see, but
when they outlawed guns, people started getting attacked with knives. So it's the person whose hand it's in. But we're not going to go there. Where we do want to go is, whatever was it that made you decide to defy the law, keep your store open, and say, guess what, I don't need your permission?
Right. Well, and I'll just clarify just a little bit, is that initially, well, I guess we never really followed, quote, the law. Initially, we closed down for several days because we looked at our situation locally. The case numbers were increasing. Our staff was getting a little concerned, and we made a voluntary decision to close down for several days. We did that of our own accord. And then basically, as the course of these events throughout the pandemic progressed, I became increasingly frustrated by the treatment of small business in the course of all of this. And it just, you know, it's from the stimulus package on to just the daily news reports, the various governors and counties and mayors that wanted to extend the closings indefinitely, and just really no regard for the livelihood and the life work that people had put into their businesses. And not only was it frustrating from an economic standpoint to watch that happen, but it was also frustrating from the standpoint of small business has been a key component of our nation since our founding. Our founding fathers came here to establish businesses. Very few of them came here and sailed across the ocean just to look for want ads in the local newspaper. So most of the founding fathers were entrepreneurs. They were business people, or they were founding religions, or they were founding educational institutions, et cetera. So entrepreneurship and business ownership has been a key component of our values in the United States for throughout our history. And what I witnessed over the course of this was a systematic disregard for the importance of small business in our communities, in our country, in our culture. And it was quite alarming to me. And so not only did I decide to reopen, but I also penned something that I called the Declaration of Business Independence, which started off from the founders' declaration, and then took it from there in terms of some of the transgressions against small businesses specifically throughout this. And while we were declaring that we were reopening and that we were encouraging other businesses to do the same.
Okay, well, and that's the kind of courage that we are dedicating this show to also encourage others to do likewise. Now, I want to play you a little clip, so maybe Doug can get it for me, but we're going to cut it off a little short. But while he's getting that clip, I want to ask you this question in our couple of minutes left. What do you make of the governor, and this is Colorado, even though this show we hope will go far and wide, everyone else, the governor, Jared Polis, and we're living in a very leftist monopoly of power right now in Colorado, even though I don't think the voters are nearly as leftist as the leadership is at the moment, because they didn't quite tell the truth when they got into office, particularly our governor, I don't believe. But what do you make of the fact that the better the news is about COVID-19 and the numbers get ratcheted down enormously, whole reason for shutting down cities and states and countries is no longer valid because the numbers aren't the same, and yet the more draconian and the more unconstitutional and stricter the restrictions become, including they are now talking about forced mask wearing in places like Denver, Colorado, whether you like it or not. And I'll tell you, I will say no, absolutely not. But why don't you tell me, we're going to have to play that soundbite a little later because we have our next guest and I want you to have time to mention that and then give your information on your business again, okay? So what do you think about that?
It's. I'm going to start off oddly saying that I think initially that he handled this fairly well. It's an unprecedented event in terms of what we're going through as a state and as a country, and frankly, the world. And at first, considering some of the past things that this legislation, our state legislators have done, and the governor has done since they got into power. I was expecting much worse, much quicker, and they were actually.
I'm afraid I got to wrap it up soon. So can you?
I'll go real fast, real quick.
Yeah. So sorry.
Yeah, I think they were a little good at first, but then they became drunk with power, and I think it's amazing to watch how they're reluctant to release that power. You know, they enjoyed it, and now it's time to let it go, and you can just see them delaying. But yeah. So.
Well put. Hal Van Herk, owner of Castle Gate Knife and Tool in Sedalia, Colorado. Give everyone your address, your website. Please, folks, go out and visit him if you need a kitchen knife, if you need a butcher knife, whatever you need. Hal Van Herk is a courageous small business owner.
Yeah, so it's Castle Gate Knife and Tool, 5040 Plum Avenue, Sedalia, Colorado. We're located right on the Main Street corner there. Online at castlegate.com, so www.castlegate.com, or you can call us and we can do business over the phone at 303-214-4303.
Thank you so much for giving us your time. Thank you for standing up, and we hope many more businesses will feel encouraged by your courage and open up to. Thank you so much, Hal Van Herk, Castle Gate Knife and Tool. Well, we are going to move right on to our next guest, who has her own show. And she's, I've known her for a while, great lady. Her name is Kim Munson. She's on the line right now. Welcome, Kim Munson.
Well, hi, Karen Cataline. Happy May Day. I am down at the Capitol, so hopefully you
Wonderful.
Can hear me okay, because there's a lot of horn honking and a lot of people down here.
Wonderful. What does it look like as far as numbers so far? And it's just beginning. It's only 20 after 12.
Probably maybe a little over 100 of people standing out there. But it's interesting. There's a lot of young people and a lot of kids here. It's just really interesting. There's a lot of people driving by and honking their horn. And so people are just starting to come together on this here, Karen.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, you have your own show, The Kim Munson Show, and so you are a fellow talk show host, but you mentioned something that is so timely and is just getting rolled out by the hard socialist left, that just as the numbers keep getting ratcheted down and people want to open up, now we have the... That's okay. We
Karen,
have a little
we have
bit
a very
of
enthusiastic bus going by, so I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
But bus! I remember that bus from a couple of weeks ago.
I think enthusiastic okay. is the right term. But
speak to the whole mask
Tree.
Thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Speak to the whole mandatory mask thing in Lone Tree, and now they're talking about it in Denver. We're not talking we recommend. We're talking you have to, or we're going to penalize you and put you in jail. I say no, no, and hell no. What do you say?
Well, what happened, and as you may remember, I served on City Council of Lone Tree from 2012 to 2016. And certainly did that to serve my community as a citizen representative. But I also I voted against things that took away people's rights or were not the proper role of government. So I got wind that there would be a special meeting. It was yesterday. It was a virtual meeting at 12:30. It had been posted on Tuesday night. And if you didn't know that you needed to be looking for it, you would have been difficult to find it. And so it was a virtual meeting. And I could not find the ordinance. So it was difficult to comment on it, and public comment was made before the meeting, so you didn't know really what they were going to be presenting. But ultimately, what they did is they came in and did an ordinance to further kind of fine-tune the enforcement of different things. So that's what the ordinance was. And then what it looks like to me is the mayor is then going to issue a executive order that will say that if any retail establishment in Lone Tree, if you go in there indoors, you have to be wearing a face covering. And I love this, Karen, Cataline, you're going to love this. And the mayor said that they will be collaborating with their businesses in Lone Tree to make sure that this can be enforced. So not
a
only
face
do
covering.
Now work for the government.
Do they want us to be in burkas or what?
Yeah. So businesses have to collect sales tax for the government, so in essence they work as a revenue arm. Now they want them to be an enforcement arm. And you can just see this where the city could say, okay, if you don't do this, then we're going to pull your business license. It is very scary, Karen Cataline.
It is phenomenally scary. And I will tell you something, Kim, of all of this, you know how it is that there's some little small thing that's seemingly small after these massive drastic changes in the very idea of America that these Democrat governors are trying to impose upon us using coronavirus as the excuse. And yet, when I hear that I'm going to be required or I'm going to be penalized or fined or put in jail for wearing a mask, I just see red. It is like you might as well put a yellow star on my chest. I'm not doing it. Put me in jail. Put thousands of people in jail, because that kind of forced submission is tyrannical to the point that it's not America anymore. And not only that, but I mean, I'll just keep going on. What do you think about this? Where's the line? I feel like we've passed the line. We've crossed the line a whole long time ago. It took people a long time because they were nervous. They were worried about this virus. The virus still has fewer deaths than what is the seasonal flu, which we hardly blink. Is it serious? Yes. Is it a reason to destroy the country and the economy and lives? Of course not. So what are you going to do about this? How are you going to report it on your show? And what can the rest of us do about it, in your opinion?
You know, I think, first of all, people need to understand what's going on. I also, Karen, just before I left to come down to the Capitol, one of my listeners sent me a PowerPoint that Tri-County Health had presented on April 24th, and the third slide there shows how they would like to be using your cell phone location to determine whether or not you're social distancing. I tell you, this is all over against the Fourth Amendment, which is unlawful search and seizure. And so what do we need to do? We need to start to, I think, go to city council, mayors, county commissioners, and the governor. And I would suggest that we start to go to their Facebook sites. Most of them you can't post, but you can comment on their posts. So I think that we should start just very peacefully, very respectfully, starting to push back on this stuff.
You know what? I'm gonna push back a tiny bit with you because, you know, we're friends. We know each other for a long time. And you are one of the most polite, kind, knowledgeable people that I know who does talk radio. I'm a bit of a Yahoo, I guess. But I just think conservatives are too darn nice. And I'm not going to ask permission from the people who are making unconstitutional demands on me. This is the perfect time for me to play for you what I'm hoping I'll play at least once each hour, one of my favorite, and there are millions of great cuts. Doug, do you have that cut for us from the movie Gandhi, which is from 1982, starring Ben Kingsley? This is the quote and a very short little clip. Can you listen for a sec, Kim?
Sure.
Okay.
I think
let's play that.
Coming back by.
Okay, let's play that.
You don't think we're just going to walk out of India?
Yes. In the end, you will walk out. Because 100,000 Englishmen simply cannot control 350 million Indians if those Indians refuse to cooperate. And that is what we intend to achieve. Peaceful, non-violent, non-cooperative.
Yeah, sorry. Doug, you can cut that. So that's the famous line. 100,000 Englishmen simply cannot control. It's that bus again. He goes around. I love it. He makes a lot
Karen,
of noise. I was there.
I didn't hear any of that soundbite.
All right, I will quote it. I will quote it for you. All right.
Person here, so.
Gandhi says... He says, you don't think we're just going to walk out of India. He says, yes, in the end, you will walk out because 100,000 Englishmen simply cannot control 350 million Indians if those Indians refuse to cooperate. That's what nonviolent resistance is about. If nobody wears a mask, and there will be some who do, and if people are willing, okay, fine, we'll have a class action suit. There he goes again. I better let you go. People are going to hang up here.
So Karen, I think... go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. We have our next guest. So
exactly.
Go
what
ahead.
I'm saying is there are people here that want to wear masks, and if they want to, that's fine.
Exactly.
You know, if a business says to me, you know what, we are asking people to wear masks that are coming in here, that's their right. Then I can decide whether or not I want to go in or not. But when you've got government coming in, I think that this is a prelude just to see how far they can push people. And that is why we need to draw a line in the sand. But they have all the propaganda machines. When I was coming up, I was out and about today, I was coming up I-25, you know, and those signs that used to tell you about, you know, there might be some traffic up ahead. Now it said, stay home, save a life. So what's the opposite of that, Karen? Go out, you want to kill somebody.
You're going to kill someone. We were told that 2 months ago. It's total propaganda. How can people listen to your show? I got to let you go. Thank you, Kim Munson. You're always wonderful. You always step up to the plate.
Well, Thank you, Karen Cataline, for everything you're doing. Go to Kim Munson, that's MONSON.com. We've got all kinds of great information there, a couple of new podcasts, and I am on KLZ 560, 6 to 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. They replay it in the evening, and all the recaps are there at the KimMunson.com. So, Karen Cataline, thank you for all you do.
Happy May Day, Kim Munson. Thanks for joining us. We have our next guest. We also have a caller. Thank you. We have a caller, a friend of the show. I'm gonna make it quick. Hopefully we have Pastor Stephen Grant, an extraordinary human being. I just love this man. Nice Jewish girl, loves the pastor. But let's take Charlene's call real quickly so we can spend some time with Stephen Grant. Sorry to cut it short, Charlene, but hi, Charlene.
Hi, Karen.
Welcome.
Hi, Karen.
And happy
May Day. Thank you for covering the event. I just want to say I know of three cases where patients died and tested negative for COVID, and they were listed as COVID deaths. The relatives called in, and they said, "We're sorry, we've been pressured to list the deaths as COVID." And this is so disturbing, and that's why I think there are so many states that have, especially Democrat-controlled states, that have more numbers of COVID deaths. And I know there's 12 per 100,000 in Colorado. There's 2 per 100,000 in Texas and Arkansas, and 3 per 100,000 in Tennessee, which all have Republican governors. And this is so disturbing, and it just fits in with the agenda. If you increase the numbers, you get more federal aid, and it's more impetus for a lockdown later on. So now is the time to speak out. Now is the time, like Kim Munson said, to draw the line in the sand.
Love you, Charlene.
Thank you for what you're doing, Karen.
My pleasure. Thanks for listening. We're going to go straight to Pastor Stephen Grant. And he has a church, Destiny Christian Center, in Greeley, Colorado. And this man is a philosopher. He's a pastor. And welcome to Spouting Off, Pastor Stephen Grant.
Thank you, Karen. It's wonderful to be in the sunshine of liberty today.
Well, I'm going to just start off and let you wax philosophical because I enjoy talking to you. And yes, hang on.
Well,
and the first thing you said that I heard you say was you were made to be free. Did you not say that? It was so beautiful.
Absolutely.
Tell us about your, tell us about that and about your church.
Well, our church congregation has done its best to minister to people regardless of whether or not they shelter in place. But we are on the front line spiritually as well, and the secularists, they fear that. You'll notice that on the news programs, they don't refer anybody for mental health counseling these days to a church or a pastor. They're terrified of that. Don't go to the rabbi. Don't go to the pastor. Go to a secularist instead. And so we decided that since we were first responders, that the church doors would remain open for ministry. And because of that, we've had the doors open through the entire time, and not one person has gotten sick, and not one person has suffered illness, and we've been completely respectful. So we've been ministering to people that are sheltering in place as well as those that came without any trouble.
Yeah, it's called freedom. It's called treating people like adults instead of like children. So you've remained open, and I have it on good authority, Pastor Stephen Grant, that you actually pastored to another pastor to open up. Tell us about that. Yes, you did. We referred him to you, did we not?
Yes, you did. Actually, you and another fellow, he overheard you guys talking and such, and so he contacted me, and he's also planning to open his church. There are a number of good Christian men and women out there, and patriots and conservatives that say, this isn't right. We were made to be free. Liberty is a Christian term. It's Judaic in its origins. And so because of that, economic liberty is our mandate. And so we're just doing our best to spread the word and open things up again.
All of our liberty. And I have a new motto that I've put in my op-eds and blog posts. It's this: God himself gave us free will. We should never expect less from our government. And yet we are getting dictates and demands. You will wear a mask, cover your mouth. Even if it's bad for you, you will do what we say, or we will fine you or put you in jail. Don't you think it's time at this point not to comply?
Well, I think that's very important, because my question is, what is the point of ingesting added carbon dioxide?
Exactly.
I don't think that's personally healthy, and so I believe that everybody should be persuaded in their own mind and do whatever the dictates of their conscience says.
Without a doubt. We'd like to keep you till about 12:45 when we have another guest, but we have two business things to do. Can you hold on with us for a few minutes while we take care of business?
Absolutely.
We love that, because I want to give you more time so people can hear just what a bright and articulate guy you are. Despite our religious differences, it doesn't matter. I love you, and I love the religious pluralism. We're going to take a quick break for station ID, and we're going to go and get a report from Jan Cook, who's holding on so she can give us a report from down at the Capitol at the May Day rally and demonstration.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
There's our goofy music and station identification, because this show will be repeated on the K-Star Radio Network tomorrow at 9 a.m., and they're going to cover all 2 hours of this broadcast, both at 9 a.m. and on Sunday at noon. Although, you know, if you're at Pastor Steve's church, listen on Saturday morning. And if you're Jewish, listen on Sunday. All right. Jan Cook, welcome. You're with Stephen Grant, Pastor Stephen Grant, and Karen Cataline. What's going on down there at the Capitol? Jan Cook? Oh, she dropped off. Okay, we'll get her when we get back. No, that's okay. It just means I hope they're looking out for those agents provocateur down there. That's what we call people who masquerade as other people trying to smear the rally. There's always them. So people are now on the lookout for that sort of thing. Well, we're just going to talk until she calls back. I'm sure she'll call back when she can, and that's the way it goes. I feel like we're doing coverage for the Thanksgiving Macy's Day Parade or something.
Well, to your point, Karen, this is not an organization. This is a movement. You know, this is larger. This is just larger than somebody packaging or marketing an item. This is a movement of the heartbeat of America to get America working again, to get us liberated again. To get us behaving like sane adults again rather than sheeple. And so, to your point, all of this stuff is coalescing today as a May Day surge, and I'm so excited about it.
Yes, and you know, it came about quite organically from a lot of people just sitting around. Then I talked to Chuck Bonnewell, who will hopefully be with us, or his wife, at the end of the 2 hours. We're going to pass off the show to him and his wife, Julie Hayden. And he was talking about, well, not that we haven't always known that May 1st has been a socialist holiday. And isn't it interesting that the war, and it is a philosophic war, if not a spiritual war, between those who believe in socialism and tyranny and central planning, and those who believe in individual freedom, personal responsibility. And that, I think, if we ever get to the election of 2020, that's what it is still going to be about. So May 1st, we hope, is going to be symbolic of something much more than just the first day of May. What do you think?
This is a critical season. You know, I've said this, don't call this quarantine, because quarantine is the quarantining of the well, not the sick. Don't call this liberty, because we are under house arrest, and we are guilty until proven innocent. Think about that for just one moment. We are guilty. We are suspected of carrying a virus until proven innocent of it. That's a violation in and of itself. And so the spin masters have inverted the truth and expected us to believe it. And the sad thing is that there are a lot of us that have, because we do have hearts for one another. We care about one another. And mm-hmm. we don't want to make anybody sick. But the left and the left will use any ruse necessary to lie to us and get their agenda pushed.
You know, it's hard for us to even get our brains around it. I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people were gobsmacked at the beginning, and the word that I used, because we couldn't believe this could even happen in America. We've never quarantined for anything like this or house arrest. And yet there's every motive in the whole wide world to do what the leftists and the Democrat governors and it seems like all the Democrats are for fear-mongering, for not all the Democrats. I'm talking about the Democrat leadership, Democrat so-called elected officials, so-called bureaucrats. You know, depending on their leaning, it seems, this is the socialist nirvana to them. Everybody beholden to the government, everybody taking orders from the government, shutting down individual freedom, shutting down churches, everything the left has found threatening to socialism, and that's who's taken over the Democrat Party, is being shut down right now. That is, as Obama said, guns, God, gardens, all of that stuff, individual freedom and commerce.
Well, and we are in a state right now where we're going to have to stand up and reclaim some things. I've had conversations this week with two other pastors, both well-meaning men, and the churches they pastor have been closed. And one of them said, look, Steve, we're just trying to do the right thing. And I really believe that and support them in that. But both of them closed out our conversation with this. Steve, I've seen it happen in China. I've experienced it in other nations around the world with missions work. But I never thought this level of tyranny would come to America. And so now we have to reclaim liberty once again.
Yeah. Well, Steve, one of the things that you said when I talked to you recently, and I thought it was so right on point, as so many of the things that you say, is that I don't think even the true patriots in our country, and I count you as one, truly understand that how huge this is, how huge this is of what we are watching right now, right?
I agree. Many times, you know, these things come incrementally, or they come as in the guise of something temporary. And so we're willing to swallow it then. And so, you know, nobody thought World War I would begin with the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand. Nobody thought that the Japanese were headed for Pearl Harbor. You know, nobody thought these things until it was too late. And I believe that we have been asleep, and it's time for us to wake up and become guardians of liberty again. You know, the interesting thing is this, too. People say, well, Steve, this is an economic thing. It's not a spiritual thing. Well, it's really not. It's a spiritual thing because God ordained liberty, and God said it first in the Bible. The verse Leviticus 25:10 proclaimed liberty throughout all the land that is inscribed on the Liberty Bell. That was economic liberty that God was talking about. And he said, look, you guys don't have the courage or the strength to really liberate each other, to go about your business and do commerce. So I'm going to have to tell you and order you that periodically you proclaim liberty and you liberate everybody from their shackles and just let them go do their job. So today I believe that this is as much a moral and a Judeo-Christian holiday as it is a celebration of returning people to work.
Without a doubt. And something else that I've written, we're waiting for our next guest, so we're going to just keep chatting until we get our next guest, who's a business owner in Kersey. And if we don't get her, I'm going to still talk about her business, because this is a celebration of individual businesses and people who are depending on themselves for their income instead of the government.
And from what I've heard, she's a hero.
Oh, she is. It's a great story. What I was going to say is that one of the things that I've written, oh, great, we have this guest. I'll leave you on the line so you can say hello, but I wanted to just make this one comment, and that is that if people are absolved of personal responsibility, they're immediately absolved of their freedom as well, right? Because you can't have freedom without responsibility. If you're not responsible, and this is what is so diabolical about socialist dogma. They absolve criminals of their behavior, and then they turn right around and blame law-abiding citizens as if we're all the same. That way they get to be in control. I think it's a very profound thought that people think that it's really fun not to have to be responsible, but what they don't understand is they pay in their freedom. They just don't understand that yet.
So if they think that we can have only the liberty they think we should have, it's not liberty.
No. And you said that too. Let's bring on Amanda Craven, who is one of the owners of a wonderful restaurant. We want everybody from Denver, everybody listening, to go on a Sunday drive. I hope they're open on Sunday, to go to a breakfast lunch restaurant called Butter My Biscuit. Welcome, Amanda Craven, to Spouting Off.
Hello.
Amanda?
I have Kendall with me, too.
Kendall, is that your owners as well? Yes? Is that one of the owners, too? You got both people there? Oh, wonderful. So tell everybody about, first of all, say hello to Pastor Stephen Grant, who is a pastor from Greeley Destiny Christian Center. And he wanted to say hello too, because one of the pastors who was there when we were having breakfast outside went and talked to Pastor Stephen Grant when we had breakfast at your wonderful establishment. Steve?
I'll say, Amanda,
hello.
I just wanted to say thank you for standing out. I'm going to have to get off the call to another one, but I am so appreciative of you standing up as a business leader and saying, you know, we care about people, but we're going to do our best to just reopen and reclaim this. Thank you.
That is so great. So beautifully said. Thank you very much, Steve Grant of Destiny Christian Center. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your time. Well, welcome, Amanda. Now, who do you have with you?
Kendall, my husband.
Oh, Kendall. Great. So Amanda and Kendall, and you have been holding the fort down at Butter My Biscuit. First off, tell us about your business, where it is, what you do, and then we'll get into, a little more of the rest of the story.
Oh, I just have a little cafe out here in Kersey, Colorado. Breakfast, lunch, good home cooking food. And that's about it.
And it is. I've tasted it. It's very good. Now, so Kersey, Colorado is just a little bit south and a little bit west of Greeley. So it's actually a little closer to people driving in from the Denver area. And you can go on it. What are your hours?
Right now, with all this going on, we've opened up longer hours. So we're open from 6 till 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 7 to 2 on Sundays.
Wow, that's a lot of time. And you're both keeping the restaurant open, and you've been doing takeout so far. And when did you start serving outside at tables outside?
I actually set them up Sunday and had them ready to go Monday, and then got called in by a couple persons. And then
tell us about
down.
This story. So somebody snitched on you, right? Somebody snitched on you because they weren't sitting inside the restaurant. They were sitting outside at picnic tables outside of your establishment eating food, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know who it was who told on you?
I don't even know.
Yeah. And so how'd you find out about this?
I was contacted by the health department.
Wow. The Weld County Health Department, right? And yes. What did they say to you?
They just said that it wasn't allowed and I was at risk of losing my business license if I didn't cooperate.
Huh. Okay.
So I went ahead and got a hold of the commissioner's office and they gave the health department a call and the health department called me back saying that it was okay now.
Amanda, this is why, and Kendall, why we've been cheering and giving credit where credit is due, that the Weld County Commissioner stepped up, called the health department, especially since there appears to be someone there who's not exactly a freedom lover, from what I've heard through the grapevine, but they're the ones who appointed him. You know, they appointed this head of the health department, and they said, guess what? We didn't shut you down. We're not telling you to reopen. It's not our business. I always love when bureaucrats tell citizens who they serve that something is not their business. Is that pretty much what happened?
Yes. Yeah, they told me at the end of the day, it's my choice what I do and how I reopen my business.
Great. So are you serving people
at risk for whatever the governor wants to do to you, I guess?
So have you decided what you're going to do about that yet?
It's in the air a little bit, but I am over this. Like, people, at the end of the day, you're responsible for you, and it should be everyone's decision how they go about their life. And I'm ready to live my life and not in fear.
Yes, and restaurant owners, people in the food business in particular, have been especially hard hit by this outrageous response and freedom-sucking response. The other thing is, you serve a lot of farmers up there in Kersey, don't you? There, you have a really busy restaurant that serves a lot of farmers who come in and want to have breakfast or lunch, right? And they're hurting as well.
They are. And we live in a really good community. We have really good supporters out here. And without them, we wouldn't even have been able to make it as far as we have into this mess. And they're
it's
ready
unbelievable.
To come eat, and I'm ready to let them in. And Kendall wanted to say a few words.
Please,
Kendall.
Well,
I'd like to say something here, too. You know, we talked about the masks and being thrown in jail. I need everybody to remember, too, they let out hundreds of people out of jail so they wouldn't get sick. People out of work release, all that, so they wouldn't get sick. But then they want to turn around, and we've done nothing wrong, and come after us for just trying to keep our business alive.
Yeah, what do you make of that? What do you make of that they're coming after?
I think it's just... Yeah. It's a double-sided sword. I mean, I know quite a few people they let out, and I've heard and I've seen it, and I just, you know, we just want to keep our doors open. And to be threatened like that, but then somebody off the streets gets arrested, they go in and give them a bond, a PR bond now, where they never would before, and they'll see them in court 6 months down the road. But we have a chance of losing our business over just letting people in the door.
Yeah. Well, we want to celebrate and cheer you on. I hope everyone, if we have your permission, we're going to put your address on my website so that people can go out for a Sunday drive and or any day of the week. 7 days a week, these people are working to keep their business open. And when you do that, you also get the food chain running again. That's what a lot of people in the city don't understand. Why do I say that? Because I'm a city person at heart. I got married to someone who has a lot more sense about these kinds of things than I do, and a lot of people don't understand. If we do not open businesses, particularly restaurants, the food chain is going to fall to pieces. So we have to run, but tell everybody again the address of your restaurant, how people can get you, and also your website, so that pretty soon we hope to keep it so busy that you'll need to start making reservations up there. Okay?
Okay. So it's Butter My Biscuit Cafe in Kersey, Colorado, and it's 304 Hill Street. And I mostly publish stuff on Facebook. It's my easier one, but I've got buttermybiscuitcafe.org. And
you
can give us a visit.
buttermybiscuitcafe.org. Just go there, Google
yes,
it. Go up there, have breakfast. You serve quite a fancy breakfast, lots of food. I ate it twice for two meals at least. So you serve a lot of food.
Yeah, you got
really
the biggest
good
one
food.
Almost.
Really good food. Kendall,
well, thank
and Amanda,
you for your time.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your courage. We appreciate it. Thanks for being
thank
on Spouting
you.
Off. We're going to wrap up this hour, and hopefully we'll get Jan Cook next hour with one of the organizers of Reopen Colorado. I've had him on before. Very articulate man, Andrew Royce. It's okay, I hope to say your name because he is an up-and-comer, folks. Andrew Royce, welcome to Spouting Off. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Karen, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it on a beautiful Friday afternoon. The sun's out. The people are out. The police are out. They're out here protecting us, and we appreciate that.
That's beautiful. We could tell the minute you came on that you're at a rally. Tell us what you see
Absolutely.
Right now and what's going on down there.
Well, I see hundreds of free Americans exercising their constitutional rights in a peaceful and powerful way. They've come out and they've said, hey, we want to take care of those who Governor Polis has left behind. You know, there's a lot of workers that are still out there that are suffering, wondering where the next paycheck is, and we're here to speak from them. It's International Workers' Day, and that has a long tradition, and even to his own people, Polis has betrayed them. The workers are hurting, and we're out here to speak up for them.
Yeah, but we're not socialists, thank God. We're capitalists, we're free marketeers, and we believe in the freedom to open your own business and not be told by the government what you can and you can't do with yourself. Isn't it funny? It's the same people who claim to be pro-choice, but not choice about anything except that one issue. They're not choice about maybe someone disagreeing, someone living their life differently than you might choose. I got to ask you, Andrew, how is it that you and your friend Joe and all the people at Reopen Colorado, you started a real trend all over the country with Reopen Alabama and Reopen everywhere. How have you been able to gather so darn many people? That first gridlock event was thousands of people. How are you able to do that?
You know, we're just riding the wave. It really isn't about us. It's people out there are waking up not only to what's going on right now, but what has been going on, that their freedoms have been stripped away. There's only a very thin veil, and the governor, just all he needs to do is make up an emergency, and all of a sudden we're being told we have no rights. Well, we're here to say, no, we absolutely do have rights. This is not a dictatorship. This is not North Korea. This is not China. This is America, and the way that we protect everyone is we protect everyone's freedom, because we believe in the people. We believe people are smart, and they're going to make good decisions. And our message is trust the people.
Okay, I better let you go because there's that truck again. Thank you, Andrew
Absolutely.
Royce. We applaud you. We thank you for taking and running with this idea, Mayday, MaydayMaydayUSA.org, and hope to have you on again soon. Have a great May 1st. And all we can do is thank you, because I have a feeling we're going, this is going to keep going, and we have to stay strong until all of Colorado is open again.
That's right. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you. My pleasure. We're going to end this first hour, and just because we have no commercials, we're going to open the second hour, and we'll have our next guest, which I got to tease you. Mayor Martin Modi Hicks of Grants, New Mexico, is going to join us right after the top of the hour. So stay tuned. This is Spouting Off, and I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline.